Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about anti-corruption methodologies. Now, you may well think that or dismiss what I have to say because I've sort of become face to face with corruption, and often people get damaged, and it's sort of like in a divorce, people have a very sort of funny view of marriage. You know, when bad things happen, you tend to have a funny view. But I suppose you could allow that I am a scientist, and you have sufficient sort of training to actually look at things, even bad things that happen to you personally, with a sort of scientific disinterest for the maximum benefit. So, I have encountered a fair amount of corruption and things not going right, and in general, just look at those two sorts of things. Corruption, things not going right, human behaviour, fickle human behaviour, what's going on. Now, one of the things is that Jane Goodall and people observing primates and birds and stuff like that, there is a series of misconceptions, or the ability to play tricks on the others, and then either feign that it is right, that it is counterfeit, basically counterfeit concepts or counterfeit ideas, which mean that you game the system. It's sort of a game theory of doing the wrong thing will benefit the individual. It's the cheating, and we have an idea of punishing cheaters, and if we don't successfully punish cheaters, you actually recruit people. So there's this entire thing. Now, what I would say is that rather than actually thinking cheating is absolutely dreadful, or misleading people is absolutely dreadful, it's part of the sort of the way biological systems work. They can do something, but then they have things working against it. Then they introduce an error signal, and the introduction of an error signal means that they can actually produce something of far higher accuracy, far more sophistication, far more greater adaptability. So misconceptions and corruption, yes, it is a very expensive way of doing things, but it's expensive with a purpose. It means that overall, people being corrupt accumulate power, they don't know what to do with it, they have money, and they can easily be tricked into big ventures. And basically, the big mistakes have led to big advances in the human experience. I would say, look, the Mongol invasion of Europe, you know, all the world, from China all the way across to Hungary and that type of stuff, the Mongols coming across there, they weren't doing it because of altruism, logic, and something like that. There was sort of a madness to there, and that was sort of a great thing that brought gunpowder organization coalesced, pushed Europe in a particular direction. You've got Columbus. Now, he was going over there to enslave and find gold, you know, into the Americas. And so a lot of corruption leads to behaviour which, at the end of the day, when it's all laid out, is a lot better than people living benign, good lives. So corruption does have an effect on these two aspects. But we now have this quandary. We have now made people super powerful. We've given them life, we've given them money, we've given them cars, we've given them emails, and if they want to be corrupt, they can be super corrupt. And we've got to come up with ideas which limit what they can do. And so one idea is what I've called it various things, but the most recent accurate way is called digitally enhanced demonstrations. Now, this seems a long, long way off. What do you think? Oh my God, corruption. Digitally enhanced demonstrations. What it does mean is that the background corruption, which is saturating, or is this background level of corruption contaminates into teaching, and it contaminates the minds of people, and very much so. The one thing is that if you've got a corrupt thing, you want to do something wrong, you have to have a contempt for the correct view. You've got to be able to convince yourself that you're doing a course of action and do it without scruples. Really, essentially, people are running these demonstrations, giving incorrect explanations, and they don't have scruples about it whatsoever. And the engineering, you've got hundreds of years. Your idea might be 50 years old, the latest idea, but there's 5,000 years of corrupt behavior, meaning that the actual people showing things to you have a sort of base contempt for the order, and basically the person who actually does understand it is not valued. They're degraded in that system, because say, look, this person does understand it, and indeed my understanding is valueless, you've got this huge, huge problem. It's much easier to think that you are valuable and you're doing things for the right reasons and things like that. And as part of that is to actually think, and therefore that person is saying things which are wrong. Now, this is kind of the general misconceptions and stuff like that. And the solution to this is that if I put an electronic things, it moves them off center stage, and the demonstration can speak for itself is the fundamental idea. So that's just one idea. But we have this general thing, is that if they're stuffing up that, do we have a generalized strategy which can start to change the dynamics? That's a small little tweak, which means that if I want to go in and sprout, hey, I'm fantastic, and hey, I'm great, that's the main purpose of a demonstration, is to develop dependency on the individual. So you want to, at a certain point, you want to be good, but you also want to be the only person. You want to explain things, you want to convey knowledge, but you don't want to convey all the knowledge. So one of the essential things is that if you are a watchmaker, and the people don't know how to put their watch batteries in, you don't go on teaching them how, oh, it's easy, you just get this tool, and then you just train everybody else. There is this idea of trained ignorance to get dependency. And so you're not going to actually change people's financial models, their reason of existence. You can't go in them and give them lectures. You've actually got to make the watches solar powered, for instance, or the watches such that there's this thing where things can come online and start to actually do it. So that's one aspect of it. But bear in mind, if we go right back to human behavior, sort of step back human behavior, there is this element of deception, cheating, as it's called. Cheat by actually not bringing the food, or having a big bite of the food before you take it to everybody else to share it out. So that may be one form of cheating, and this sense of what's fair and things like that. So that, in so many things, sets the tone up for this godforsaken farce. I think Descartes called education a parody of reason. Okay, what's going on here? Looking here, trying to look at. There's just a siren there, so I'm driving to get various little bits and pieces done in my life. Okay, so the idea is that this system of like there's a combined system. There's a combined system of inductive things where you build prototypes, you get ideas, you test them out, and you question them, and you do your quality control. The other thing is to actually generate an idea which has look at the root of an idea and actually expand that root to the maximum level to understand it. So there's a sort of there's a parallel to induction. So where I've used induction is rather than actually reason this is the best way of making pracs, I've actually gone out and said, hang on, I'm not going to be able to communicate this, but I can have this insight to doing it. And I've followed the idea of induction, the induction of scientific principle. So I'm just looking at the lights up here, and I've got enough fuel to hit me to the range of what I believe is the cheapest petrol station here. So for all this mundane thing. Now, that being aspect, so you've got induction, and then you've got induction, which is prediction forward, and then there's this sideward thing, which is in science, and this is, you get the sideward scope of called a literature analysis, a problem solution, where you look at the methodology amongst different methodologies of problems as it sits amongst other problems, and you say, well, this to an extent, this is a unique problem, and this corruption is not a unique problem, it's a pervasive problem we as a system need to introduce system tweaks to come across. And of course, trying to write all this, as I say, it sounds really great. Obviously, one of the advantages of going out is that you classify it in a broader, what you're doing, as a subset of it, and therefore you can describe it. So building electronically enhanced demonstrations is a systems tweak to defeat the ingress of misconceptions into demonstrations, which lead to a whole series of consequences. Those series of consequences are really inconsequential. The actual idea is that I have the electronics here, there is now actually really no reason for not doing it. That being said, there's other areas where one can improve. I'm just going to have a bloody well look up here. So it's really hard to actually navigate here because Penrith is a changing. At times they are a changing. And just trying to look at these various things. I assume this is not the street I have to go up to get to my favourite petrol station. And look, my little petrol lights just come on to say, dude, you are taking your life in your own hands. But I think, look, everything's going to be okay. If I keep on doing this podcast and I run out of petrol, you'll hear me do my expletives. Okay, so the broader idea is that we have a system that where there are people who are in a system and they have the inner knowledge that it is corrupt. Everybody else is saying, surely it can't be. And they know it is corrupt. And therefore, they engage in corrupt behavior. And in this case, they get what looks to be counterfeit arm's length reports. So they can develop an established relationship with a service provider and get a counterfeit report. And this is a complex thing. This is a report which sees the result, it's communicated very clearly what they wanted, the results required, and they actually get a report fit for purpose. So they pay for a scientific report. Now, obviously, this runs counter to all our ideas of science and stuff like this. Here's Smith Street, we're going to be laughing, hopefully. I won't eat my pants, as they say them. So we've got this problem that the idea is that, say with Prax, the person isn't giving, so the Prax and demonstrations person is not giving a scientifically rigorous thing. Solution: introduce a interface between it where we can actually start to get into a prac and ensure that the explanation is bound with that prac. The actual prac itself explains itself and goes here. Now we've got similar style of problem, but this is more, if you could call, casual corruption. That is really someone who's feigning knowledge. Now let's look at this here. Oh, gee whiz. I see some bloody high petrol prices here. And the price is it's 1 cent cheaper. There you go, for all that struggle. Okay, well, I'm going to sign off now and tell you my overall master plan to save the human race from insanity. Okay, I'm just going in. I'm going to fill up my petrol at this point in time, so I'll see you after I've done this. Okay, back again as I go into gear and ease out of this place and reset my odometer. Sorry, so I just check how many kilometers per tank full so I can actually estimate with a high degree of accuracy the range that I have. Now this probably doesn't affect people in European countries, but you often in Australia will have a greater range anxiety, especially if you are suddenly told, I'll go out to Dubbo or something like that. This is 100 kilometres. Okay, this is moving out here. Okay, so we've got this general problem of basically, one aspect you can say, look, there's an imbalance of power. And in all these cases, at the end of the day, there is an unstoppable imbalance of power. This is a problem that you cannot, it's just not easily solved. Okay, that's right. That's three. I want to go down. Imbalance of power. So this sort of people, they sort of foster a internal corruption club. That is, they know that they operate corruptly, and they will use the levers of corruption to actually generate anything they so wish. Now this is interesting. This is going to be this is red lights. Okay, so I'm just going to work out my way going across here. So you have this look and the feel. It's sort of like a Wild West saloon bar. It's a different town, but they're still serving drinks, and there's still a bad guy, and there's still that sort of horse trough at the front. Still, the actual contents are still there. Ah, this is going to be very, very interesting to get past him. Okay, so here we've got people. They want to act corruptly, and they've got this lever that they pull, which is getting what looks like arm's length reports, but they're really not. They're counterfeit. So they what looks like exam questions on a topic, but really they are just exam questions confirming the misconceptions I already have that I've taught from 1 year. Look, this misconception works. It's a misconception in a working misconception. There you go. A working hypothesis, a working misconception. It's got problems with it. It has to be adjusted. It's a hypothesis which you need. A working things I will do. So they've got this system going. How do you actually simply disconnect, rather looking at a systems level thing, a system level solution rather than a political solution? That is, sack all the people, replace it with great people. Now the problem is that the bad people are created by bad system. They have been exposed to corruption It's a cultural thing. So my solution is that if you want a report, you send your report to a third. This is classic science double-blind test. It goes to an agency, and the agency then takes them from all agencies and solicits it, and basically does a card, shuffles the deck. So you don't know, you're unable to communicate your desired outcome. You get basically a stock standard scientific report, which actually just simply communicates the facts. That's what the government's paid for. In a certain sense, you are robbing the government. You are getting the government to pay for something which basically gets you employed and your mates employed and people you don't want out of the system, and you're using public money to do private ill. So that's perhaps not the best thing to do. Come on, let me go through here. Okay, just scooping along here. Sorry, I've got to do it. So I don't know, what do you, hope you're not beeping me. No, I don't think so. Okay, so the idea is that you have four. So one thing, you have electronic. So I can see something here which is just a gift of a park for the lazy parker. It's a question to work out what I'm going to do here. So look, I'm going to leave you there at this point in time. I'll be able to start this up again. The idea is that it is good that you have a department, like a department of works, a quoting service. Now, I'm sure this will go wrong, horribly wrong. It just requires corrupt people to go that next thing. The corrupt person then has to have a friend at an office. This is basically Diocletian, the Roman emperor, came up with this as a solution. It's called division of power. So your power is not concentrated in one group. And in a sense, the electronic enhanced demonstration is a division of power. It means that the person no longer gives the explanation, they give the item and the explanation is given with it. It's dividing the power. G'day. And here, if someone goes a report, rather than having the person who gives the report having a cozy relationship with the report writers and being able to communicate in a ventriloquist puppet report aspect of it, you can actually just break it in. It's actually a relatively simple task to upgrade this situation. Okay, that being said, I've got this horrendous paper which I'm trying to move ever so slowly across to write. So that's the idea. I think that's enough for this particular podcast. The idea is that this can't be 6 minutes. There must be something wrong with this. I can't be only talking for 6 minutes. But here we go. Let's see how it goes. Thanks a lot for listening. Christmas presents and buying a hat. I'll start off with buying a hat. Now, in Australia, if you're bald and you're white and you're not used to the sun, a hat is absolutely essential. And essentially, if you don't wear a hat in the army, you get charged, and the charge is malingering. This is willful self-damage. There you go. Sunburn is an offence, and not wearing a hat is an offence. So over the years, I've just always worn a hat. And fortunately, I suppose I haven't become too sunburned. There was one time where I took my son bushwalking. I think he was 10 years old, and he turned up and he didn't have a hat. And so the hat went off my head and I got burnt to a crisp. I was walking along the coast, so the UV light from the sea and everything was just, and the cliffs just, I absolutely got completely burnt. But apart from that, I suppose I got burnt when I was a kid. You know, this is where burnt sufficient for your skin to flake off after a while, the damaged skin to flake off. But apart from that, I've always worn a hat. Now, for a long time, I suppose I used to wear an army kepi. When that gets old, that looks really crap. This is like a beach hat, a baseball hat with a flap at the back. Because a standard baseball hat just won't cut it in Australia with the sun. Some dudes do wear it, but it's more a fashion statement than anything else like that. I've gone through a process of wearing Kubras, and basically you keep a hat until you forget it somewhere. And I have just found a hat which is absolutely fantastic, and it's a Kriya hat, but people have got to it with shoe polish and buffed it up, so it's like it's a fake leather hat, sort of like a fake Kubra hat. Now, Kubra is the hat of choice in Australia because it's a morph from the 1940s hat, where everyone wore a hat, but these are made out of pounded felt or rabbit fur. Of course, back in the 40s, Great Depression, rabbits were everywhere, and people just, I don't have enough to eat, I'm starving, I'll just shoot a few rabbits, and rabbits are everywhere. Now, we have to send our hats overseas to be made. The fur is taken up overseas, and it's made cheaper overseas. So I've had a few Kubra hats, some which have fallen apart, and invariably, at a certain point, you go out of a lecture theatre, it's late at night, you forget to wear your hat. So I had for a while been struggling to find a hat, and then in Melbourne I found and fell in love with this hat. Cost, I don't know how close, $50. This is a hat, cost $50 or $100. Like, I think a swimsuit cost $250. Fitted swimsuit hats cost a fortune, and so I unfortunately, after looking after this hat for years, for probably three years, I lost this hat somewhere up in Officeworks. That would be another story there. I lost it, phoned up, no dear, you can't find it, no, gone, and the hat has gone. And early that day I had spied a hat for $15, a leather hat fitted me, black, I could wear it, to army parades and that type of stuff. It wouldn't be too out of the way. And then after buying the Christmas present that I'll tell you about, went up there and someone had bought up that hat really quickly. So I suppose the message is to just keep on looking at in op shops till you can actually find a hat that will do. But they're sort of hard to come about, and of course you think, how do you clean a hat and all that type of stuff to go around it? So you've got to do something to it. But what I suppose you just do, what you always do, is just pretend it's clean. pretend hygiene, counterfeit hygiene. And the last thing I bought out of the op shop, because I was absolutely freezing, was a scarf. And I kept on sneezing and sneezing until we washed it. But the idea, I always said, it's a dead person's scarf, because it was an old scarf with a little name thing on it, which had been washed out. So I thought, this will be probably from this person who's in an old person's home, and their scarf finally gives out, and they give it to an op shop, and a hobo like me picks it up for a dollar or $2, like that. So I'll be going out looking. So unfortunately I didn't find a hat, and it looks, the sun is absolutely toasting, so in the water, whatever you're doing, you'll basically always wear a hat. Like, there's at no point in time do you not
wear a hat. And unfortunately, I've got this part of the issue to staff at schools is the school hat. And of course, the only hat I've got left really is this fairly good. It's got sun protection. Like, it's also criminal to give someone a hat which isn't full sun protection. It's sort of like inviting them to fool themselves in the hat. So if you get issued a hat at work, a work hat, it's a proper hat. And what is it? The hard hats. The hard hats in Australia come with a cricket hat underneath it and a veil or a neck thing. That's a sort of standard issue. So hopefully people are learning a bit more sunspot. And I can't say that melanoma is not. This is not a fun picnic. There you go. This, I can't really remember. It's a great thing about the memory stuff and stuff going. So that's the story of the hat that I went into this op shop after 2 weeks. Not after 2 weeks. After 4 days. Was it 4 days? Probably 4 days. Something like that. Probably a week. And someone has bought my hat. A good would be several hundred dollars worth of hat. They bought it. It was marked down to $15. Someone snapped it up. Bastards. So I'll just have to keep on going along. You obviously can't spend too much. Now the other thing is this Christmas present. And it sort of just makes me think, sort of like, basically I pressed a few buttons and I've got my wife an African drum. She's into African drum. Costs an eye-watering amount of money. How does that work? There's someone in Africa, Mr. Drum of Drummer City, is just got an eye-watering amount of wealth coming out from African drums. I suppose it all makes a sense, and it's sort of these things that there's this nightmare that you buy your kid a slightly cheaper thing, and you just could not live not buying your kid the most expensive thing possible. So yes, my wife. Now, this is press a few buttons on the website africandrums.com and it gets delivered to you all with the absolute blinding efficiency. Obviously, they'd have it programmed to print out the labels and yeah, it's just amazing how it all gets done. Efficiency, so it turns up. Now, what I've also done is bought listened in to things and said, look, I will get these canvassed printed pictures of TV personalities that my, slightly quirky, that my daughter is following. So I go to the internet, copy them onto my dictaphone, put it in file E. You get five files, A, B, C, D, E. A is the podcast directory, so you just put your podcasts in there, and what happens to the computer? Goes in, it says, oh, I've got a podcast machine, well, it's an anything file. A, and then is it the size, is it the time? Yes, I'm interested in it. I'll get these basic parameters, which says, I'll put it out as a podcast. B, C, D is various things that you listen to, maybe music, maybe, God forbid, I'm going to have to really make a beeline to make this hair appointment. So I'll just looking at it, just thinking, I was cruising, but I realised that I have to really get a little bit of a wriggle on to get here. Oh yeah, so this is the full story, and so you just get it, you go into a machine, you stand in the queue, they say you can get in the machine, you go to the photo machine, and you put in your USB drive, nothing works, going on. The woman next to it says, look, I was working on that computer, I moved off it. And then you going, I just can't get this to work. And then the store person comes up to you, the store woman comes up to you, who goes around and said, oh, that machine, oh, the problem with that machine is boys. Boys use that machine and now it doesn't work. And I think that for me just really says a lot about boys, don't you? I like it, you know, it's not that it's broken, not that it's this, it's that. Boys, they will not follow instructions, they'll try to do things slightly differently, and that's it. So, that being said, you just press the button, swipe your card, and get a print, a receipt, and come in. And 48 hours later, I did a little bit longer than that, and you have these fantastic things to do. And you sort of feel, yes, it makes it incredibly easy parting with your money. Your money comes to you pretty easily and it goes away from you. You've got these two pictures. So there's one picture of Jimmy Gill, a children's TV show host with an owl puppet, which has become really the sex symbol for girls growing up. So he was, you know, little girls would see him at, I don't know, 3, 5 years old. Now they go to 13, 15. Now he's retiring, but he's turned into this sex symbol. Not, yeah, and that's perhaps the wrong. This is I don't know, it's sort of like the Hello Kitty or Kitty Unicorn. It's this thing which basically is slightly absurd, slightly wrong, slightly young, slightly old. It's hard to go, it's not the right thing. The other one is Midsummer Murders. Now, Midsummer Murders, if I could say, is really, I think someone's written a thesis on it to keep it on message. Stylized absolutely, completely correctly. It's got it's very much a formula, you know, of, oh, this murder is going to happen, so that there's a certain cue thing where you know, oh, this murder is going to happen, and murders come along. And so I do have another, I think it's A2 framed picture of Midsummer Murders, the various Barnabys. I wonder if there's going to be a third generation Barnaby. They did have it rather good, that the Barnaby, which is John Nettles. Now, John Nettles really has this way of speaking, and the other Barnaby, I've forgotten what his name is, has this fantastic way of, I'm thinking, I'm really puzzled, I'm really trying to think about what the nature of this crime is. He's not amazed, nothing's out of place. He's just in these incredible situations. So that's, for me, so just getting back onto Christmas presents, they're just too easy to buy. You just go in, is it there? That's what they want. You've got a certain set of parameters. Basically, will I get in trouble if I don't purchase this? What is the, you know, basically it's fear, or I can say the man's perspective at all is fear. Merry Christmas, ho ho ho, you've survived. Ho 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 is really the Grim Reaper coming to go, ho ho ho, you've done the right thing. So it's to try and actually find something which is quirky. It's also, I suppose what you ought to do is buy something which, well, if they throw it back in your face, I don't know what you do, but it's to show that you have been watching. You haven't slept through the whole of the ins and outs of life, or you listen to things and then you ask for a piece of information which will help you stitch it all together, and you don't get it, you just get a lecture for what you know you you should have been listening, you should have done this or that. So it's hard. So there we go. And now I'm going to be able to make it to the hairdresser in time. I will go back and buy this person. So the hairdresser is, if you know what you're doing, you can get your hair cut for free. You just find out where occasionally they write free haircuts, believe it or not. You have to watch for it. And that's when you have a trainee coming in. And the thing is that blokes are really unimaginative. They don't tend to book. They're massively underrepresented, and they're not valued for money. Women are incredible value, given that there's pretty much hair. I think men don't have hair. I think it's actually probably criminal charging a man for a haircut. Coming up. Okay. Oh, see, I am so unbelievably hungry at this point in time. Now, 7. Yeah, so just come across. And I'll go. So that's the summary so far. That just tells you that's the length of time to drive between the main town and the satellite village, and it's 13 kilometers, and I don't know how many minutes, but the best part of 20 minutes driving. And so that, you know, I don't know how far you go in Britain if you drove continuously for 20 minutes. I was supposed to in all those little creaky little lanes and all that stuff, but you definitely go a fair distance there. And this is just to get your hair cut. Now I'm going to say goodbye and Merry Christmas to you.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.